Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to your show, Destination Health. I'm your host, Kim Cockerham, a member of the Let's Truck team, and I just thank you for coming together today and saying our health is important. Becoming healthy is the best decision you will ever make. It is worth it. You are worth it. Whether you're venturing down this road for the first time or if you've been at this thing called healthy living for a long time, we welcome you. We are here to support each other, learn from each other, celebrate accomplishments, and hold each other accountable, whatever you need. So we are going to get moving. I have to tell you, we're actually broadcasting, recording here from CMC in Kansas City, Missouri, and we got in today, and the team's all slowly coming together, and just so excited to be here. I'm actually looking out on the river here, and it's so peaceful, and just ready to get going with just some phenomenal people that are just coming here to learn and just network, and cannot wait. So glad you are here with us. Remember, we are taking your questions. You are going to want to ask questions here because you are going to want to put all this in place that you are going to learn today. If you have a success story or an update, a challenge you want to talk about, press 1 and talk to Lisa. We're working together today again. I love it. So I'm going to get right at this, you guys, if I can find. I'm working on a laptop here instead of my 2 screens because I usually have about a gazillion windows open. So I want to get right at this. So just so grateful to be joined together today with Eden Keselowski. She's the founder and CEO of Just Be LLC, a meditation, mindfulness, and wellness company. And this spoke to me when I was reading from her website. And let me get over here. Sorry, 1 second. Lisa would be cracking up. She knows what my windows are doing right now. Anyways, I was reading on Eden's website here that Just Be, with its core practices of meditation and mindfulness, was created to bring calm and balance locally to our community and beyond, to gracefully show people, teachers, students, professionals how to be connected to their health, families, work, passions, every aspect of life. And I just, when I read that, I just, you know, and think about that, you guys. Really think about it. If some of you weren't driving, I would say close your eyes and think about it, because calm and balance are those words that are part of your life. Are they part of your days? And I'll share that they really haven't been part of my days lately, our families, because you all know we are, you know, getting ready to move, and we're painting our house like crazy, and, you know, kids in school, and kids that want to move, kids that don't want to move, and in the midst of all this chaos, I was losing myself, and was so, so lucky, and just timing-wise, I reached out to Eden a few weeks ago, and she's so willing to come on board, and just so excited to share this with you, but she also had an expo last week. Now, she's from the Akron-ish area. I'm in Akron. And always went to a yoga studio down there called Little Yoga Shop. And here Eden's on board with Jill and Jen. They have a beautiful place. And so we did an expo, and it was my first time to actually go. And she had a free meditation hour. And it was something I've always wanted to do. It's something I did not ever make time to do. And I will tell you, it's priceless. My daughter, 2 of my daughters went with me, and we were like, we have to keep up with this. We have to make this and budget for this as part of our life because it's just too important. But I could just go on, and we will get chatting here. So I'm going to go right and bring Eden on here. And
hello, I'm sorry, I'm just sitting here just smiling. Okay, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Oh, I do this all the time. And I always, I go to talk to somebody and I push the wrong button and I'm chatting away. And
no, girl, I'm sitting here the whole time just listening. That I'm smiling and I'm just listening and going, oh, my gosh, that is like the best intro ever. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh, no. Oh, thanks. You're so kind. And for being here,
no, really,
for taking the time to come today. And you were from the get-go when I called you and just said, you know, what we do here and, you know, just this community. You talked about community in that statement that you have on your website. And this is a community of drivers that and people in the trucking industry and so forth that just, oh my gosh, this is the hardest working people, and help each other and lift each other up. So this is, I think this, and I know you'll expand on this. You know, we talk so much about what we, for our health, when we think of health, we think about what we eat and how we move. And I think this piece, the wellness, the meditation, mindfulness, what it can do for us and what stress can do to us, kind of gets downplayed a little bit, and it's huge.
Sure.
So, well, first I'd like to do is share a little bit about yourself. Let us know
okay,
who you are.
Well, you did a wonderful introduction. My, well, first I am. I'm so excited to be here because in my work, I want to touch as many people as I can in every industry and every tier of our society. So the more chances I get to share what I do, this isn't just a job for me. It is my passion. It is my soul work, whatever you want to call it. So it was so nice for you to come. You know, I actually have a studio, which I still find it unbelievable, a retail studio dedicated to mindfulness and meditation in Akron, Ohio. So, this is my life. So to be here to share it with you guys is amazing. So just to give you a little bit of background on me, I started doing these practices about 15 years ago. And at the time, I lived in Georgia, which I'm from down south. And I was in the corporate world in advertising. And I was working way too much. I was very much off balance, started having a lot of health issues, and never thought about meditation being the thing that was going to help me. But I was out to dinner with two of my friends one night, and they started talking about this amazing teacher and how taking her class was the most life-changing thing they had ever done. And I don't know about you guys, but having dinner and having someone talk about a life-changing experience doesn't happen very often. So I really listened and decided that this would be what I would try. And essentially 6 years later, her name was Dr. Neela Peake. She became my mentor and my teacher. She was a clinical psychologist who basically abandoned her practice because she found that in teaching meditation, she could help people change everything. So, I look back and I'm like, I am so lucky that I found such a grounded, wonderful person to teach me. And essentially when my husband's job was going to transfer us to L.A., which is actually Lower Alabama, she said, you need to start teaching. And yeah, I know. People always make them laugh. I know. It's crazy. So Alabama is actually where I started for a year and a half, and then had an opportunity for us to move to Akron in Ohio, and that has been such a wonderful place to really expand this practice. But for me, I'm a very type A personality. I know that if I hadn't started doing this work, I was right borderline high blood pressure, and this was in my 20s, that if I hadn't started doing this, I don't know what my life would be like right now. So I'm very grateful for the practice, for myself and my family, and my kids do it, and yeah, it's wonderful. So how's that?
That is wonderful. That is great. And you know what? And that's where, you know, you were called to do that. And you mentioned your kids, too. And, you know, having those two kids show up at that class, that opened my eyes to that as well. I could see how this would be so beneficial for kids. And that ripple down effect, too. So, like, you know, we're doing it. And so, you know, and if anybody listening considers doing it, you'll see that ripple effect. And it can help everybody in your family and everybody you come in contact with. And so I think that opened my eyes to that on Sunday when I saw that. So tell us, we talked about, you know, I always hear meditation. I've always heard meditation. I think about sitting and being quiet. And then you added the word mindfulness. Are they the same, or what are those?
Okay, all right. Let me kind of give you the difference and the similarities between the two. Okay, so mindfulness is simply, even though it isn't simple all the time, is the practice of learning to be aware and present in the present moment. Now, it has its roots in Buddhism, but as I like to say, you don't got to be Buddhist to do it. Anybody can do it. It simply means being here in the now rather than in the past and the future. And here, let me give you one scenario that might kind of work for your listeners. All right, so for example, say you've got this big job, there's a tight deadline, and there's suddenly just a big repair issue with your truck. Okay, does that sound like a potential situation for your listeners?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so mindfulness, in a sense, allows you to step back from the intensity of the situation. So the more you practice this is kind of how the situation can lend itself to be. So all right, so you're in the situation. With mindfulness, you can step back and there's much more clarity and calm versus getting all bunged up in the what-ifs, okay? And this is typically how, you know, if we have a situation in front of us, okay, how is this going to affect my deadline? How long is this repair going to take? Or what if the repairs are way expensive? How is this going to affect the next job coming down the pipe? And what we learn is, in mindfulness, we have no control over any of those things. Mm. So to sit there and get all worried about the what-ifs and what's going to be isn't helpful for us. It isn't helpful for the situation. So it's essentially learning, I can control this, I can't control that, but at the end of the day, the thing that I can always control is myself. And when I start right. to practice and ease my mind, suddenly I can just sit in the middle of chaos and it's no longer chaotic. So that's a very simplified look at mindfulness in a sense. Now, okay. how mindfulness – okay, is that good so far? Okay, I'm going to keep checking
Absolutely.
In.
Absolutely. And I know – okay, and I'm sure we'll get a little bit longer to tell us, like, maybe some strategies on how to do it. But, yeah, keep going.
Yes,
keep going.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so where meditation aligns with mindfulness is that every meditation practice – essentially is about being aware and being in the moment. So they're completely aligned. The tricky part with meditation sometimes is that there's so many different versions. They're very spiritual versions. They're very religious versions from Jewish meditation, Christian meditation, Zazen meditation, transcendental meditation. So the version of meditation that I teach is essentially an energetic form. So it basically states that our bodies are energy, everything around us is energy, and for us to be balanced, our energy has to be flowing. So for me, mm-hmm. I can say to anybody, anyone can do mindfulness. Anyone can come do the meditation that I do. It is the honey in your tea. It is the icing in your cake. I'm not here to tell you what to think, what to believe. I'm here to help you connect more to your own beliefs, to your thoughts, to your spirituality, to your religion. You know, whatever you hold dear, what meditation and mindfulness teaches you is just to learn to make that richer, to become more involved in it, just for everything to become brighter and really and more just wonderful and more connected to anything that is important to you.
To you, to an individual. So that's what's cool. There's no right or wrong about this. It's for what is and where you're at. And it's probably constantly changing things, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right? Completely continuing, evolving, changing. Like, I look at my students from week to week, and, yeah, every time they walk in the door, something new, something's changed. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. That's got to come back tenfold to you. So when you think about the industry, when you think about the trucking industry, what comes to mind right away about why is this, you just think this would be just so good for people to start practicing and paying attention to?
Good. Okay, well, the three kind of main topics that I'd love to hit on is, number one is stress. And then per a discussion we had about life on the road and the beauties and perils of owning your own business, and then we can talk a little bit about life expectancy and basically how meditation helps with overall happiness and wellness. So
great.
May I start
okay,
with stress?
Thank you.
Does that
Please.
Sound good?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, so meditation is the bomb with stress. Now, it's so interesting. I've been doing this now for 15 years, and over the past 2 years, all, you know, 60 Minutes, Forbes magazine, Psychology Today. It used to be I would have to talk to people and go, oh, you know, the science has proven this, but there's so much out there now. I don't go quite so much into so-and-so said this, so I keep it a little bit more general. But let me tell you essentially how stress affects the body. All right, so if you have a brain on stress, you have these powerful hormones like cortisol and adrenaline that are prepping your body consistently for fight, flight, or freeze. And if they continue mm-hmm. to be released, damage can occur to your brain and to other organs in your body. And negative thoughts can literally kill off neurons.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so when you yeah. start to meditate and have a more relaxed brain, I'll start to calm down as I even talk about this, your oxygen levels overall are increased, you have a slower heart rate, slower breathing, a calm brain helps with the release of dopamine and serotonin, which create a happier sense of well-being. The more calm your brain is, the more executive parts of the brain, which are your more higher evolved parts of the brain, are freer to work to assist with clear, effective decision-making and problem-solving. So there's kind of a quick encapsulation of stress. Now, interestingly enough, stress is plays a huge role in illness, and two of the main players in that are high blood pressure and diabetes. And Kim, I think you shared with me that in the trucking industry, those two factors alone are way more intense in that community than the national average. Is that correct?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, if you compare it to, the national. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay. So just learning meditation can completely affect these two challenges. I had, for example, one woman who started class with me, a retired school teacher. I'm not even going to assume to say how old she is because she may be highly offended if she listens to this, but I'm just going to guess in her 60s or 70s. And she came to me basically, I've done everything. I've tried every medication. I've tried everything for my high blood pressure. I'm coming here to this class to see what can happen. And typically when you do work with me, I get very customized with my individual folks because meditation is a very, from one person, it's different. From one person to the next, it can be very individualized. So we really started to work on her high blood pressure, and no kidding, Kim, she went to the doctor after 5 weeks, had her blood pressure taken, and he looked at her and he goes, "What the heck have you been doing?" And she's like, "Meditation." So it's amazing how quickly just doing these simple practices can really start to change everything.
And it's one of those things we don't put a lot of, don't put a lot of meat behind it because it just we feel like we need to be doing more instead of being more quiet.
Right, and that's kind of the mentality, especially here in the States. We're very driven, which is a great word to use on this call. We feel like, if we're not doing things, that we are not being productive citizens. And what I teach people is we actually have to stop, and doing less is actually more because it gives your body time to heal, your brain time to rest. So it's very contradictory to what we're taught since we were kids. So it is. It's changing a whole friggin' mindset, which I got a big job on my shoulders. And, girl, I'm prepared.
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm ready to take it. So, and I'll give you a couple of stats because these are really interesting. According to the American Family Physicians, 2/3 of all office visits are related to stress, which I think is really amazing. The World Health Organization estimates that the cost of stress to American businesses is as high as $300 billion. Okay, and here's one other one that's really, really good. U.S. employers spend 200 to 300% more for the indirect cost of health care in terms of low productivity, sick days, absenteeism, than they do on actual health care payments. So implementing meditation and mindfulness programs at the office, how I love to say it, is it really can affect a company's bottom line.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that. How many do? How many do you have an idea of how many companies really embrace this, or how open are they to this?
Well, it's really interesting. There's an article in the Huffington Post that stated 1/4 of American companies now embrace this in some fashion. There's some really huge ones. A lot of people have heard about Google, Huffington Post, Harpo Studios with Oprah Winfrey is big, General Mills. And it's really been interesting to watch my community here in Akron. It's been kind of a slow uptake, but it's really interesting. Once a couple of people experience it, then it really more people start to latch on. So in my area in the past year, I've seen a huge difference, and I can't imagine what this year and next year are going to bring. And plus, I tell you, Kim,
that's
the amazing
exciting
thing is, really? Did you think it'd be a little more in this area or a little more?
No, I said that's exciting. No, I said that's so exciting.
Oh, exciting. Okay.
Hear that.
I thought you said surprising.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, no. Yeah. I love it.
Good.
Love it.
Well, the amazing thing for me, and I love to tell people this because I kind of want it to change, but I find that many of my clients, whether it's corporate or individual, many of them approach me, again, kind of like I talked to the woman with high blood pressure, that they've tried everything else. A lot of them are at the end of their rope, so they come to me with very low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I look at them and I go, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. But what I want is for people to come when they're not in a desperate situation." You know what I mean? Like, to make this more part of your regular life.
And you know,
so it doesn't have to get tragic.
Yeah, and that's what we are trying to do here is to, why do we address the whole person? Because we want to take a more holistic approach to our health. And that's what we've been talking so much on the show and just more natural, and it just
right.
fits so well. And this, we're just so excited for everybody to hear this. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, healthiness on the road and so forth,
yeah.
too, tell us a little bit more about how, you know, we look at diets, we look at, you know, getting out there and exercise more. Where does this fit? Where does meditation and mindfulness fit in with just feeding and eating healthy? And, you know, a lot of I'm trying to lose 15 pounds. You know, how can we put this in place for something like that?
Sure. All right. Well, let's talk about mindful eating. I teach classes on weight loss, and I love talking about food because food is so important in our lives. Food to me is not only nourishment for the body, but it's also for the soul. And when you start doing meditation and mindfulness practices, you start becoming so much more connected to anything that you put into your mind or into your body. This is really interesting. When you start paying attention to your food, and when I talk about mindful eating, it's really, again, talking about kind of being in the moment when you're eating, like really sitting and tasting your food. Because, you know, especially in the industry, the trucking industry, everything seems to have to go so fast. You know, I've got to stop and get food. I've got to get back on the road. Even taking 5 or 10 minutes and committing to, all right, it's time for me to eat. I'm going to sit here and be in this moment. I'm going to smell my food. I'm going to look at it. I'm really going to taste it. And I also find that attitude affects how our body digests food. If you're eating something that you know isn't good for you, but the whole time you're eating it, you're talking about, oh, this is bad for me, then your body is going to pick up on that, and it's not going to take in as much of the vitamins and minerals that it can. All right, so this wonderful statistic, too, if we are not fully engaged with the taste, aroma, color, and texture of our food, we only digest and metabolize it 60 to 70% of our ability. So even if you do not, yeah, that's huge. So even if you do not have the opportunity at times to eat things that are, you know, organic or, you know, fresh, at least if you're committed to eating and being in the moment with eating, you can still change so much of how your body reacts to it. And I think that is huge. So I tell my folks in weight loss class, I'm like, oh my gosh, if you're going to eat a piece of cake that you love, well, for gosh sake, eat it. Sit there and take the icing and dip your finger in it and smell it. And as you're eating it, go, oh, my God, this is the most delicious thing. And watch how your whole body gets excited and engaged. And then the whole experience changes from one of, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't eat this. This is going to make me gain weight. You have so much control.
Right.
So much control just by being
cool.
engaged.
That is, yeah. And that's
it is cool, darn it.
And it's just, yeah. No. And it's just
yeah.
aware. Just hearing you say to do something like that. First, we're gonna have some stuff to do after, you know, when we close up here, and that'll be number one thing. Is some people, your very next meal. Stop.
Yes, and I take what I always do in my beginner classes, and if anyone can do this, it's great. We usually do raisins, which Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is kind of the founder of Western mindfulness here in the United States, this is what he does with most of his classes, and it's great. I've tried other foods, but raisins are just wonderful because they're these tiny, tiny little pieces of fruit. So what we do in class is I pass around raisins. Everyone gets 3, and you sit and you eat them. And how I describe it is I want you to eat this like you've never eaten before. This is your first experience chewing, tasting. You know, I want you to eat one, fully chew it, swallow it, then go to the next. And when people talk about that experience, it is mind-opening because right off the bat, whoever picks up just one raisin,
right.
eats it.
Yeah.
And that little fruit is so complex because it comes from a grape, which is this plump, juicy thing. There's a process that it goes through to become this small, little condensed, you know, little piece of fruit. And every one of them, and I've done this exercise millions of times, literally has its own little personality. So suddenly you start to look at something so simple and it becomes so much richer just by looking at it and really thinking about it. So do that.
That's really neat.
And if you don't have raisins,
definitely.
Even if you're drinking something, or you could do it with anything.
that is definitely, well, and you had used that in the class, and my youngest daughter and I were talking about this on the way home too, is just even your shopping for your food, take it to that level.
Yes.
Usually it's that kind of thing that we're doing fast and quick and getting in and out of there and not really thinking about what we're picking out, even like you said, the people that are there with you as well. You know, take a moment and be mindful of the other people, and then as you're checking out, so starting from square one, from when you buy your food to sitting down and enjoying it. So I look forward to doing that next time. And actually, we're as a team going to be sharing a meal here at 7 o'clock Central Time. So we're going to make sure,
really?
You know, that'll be a great practice. We are before we kick off our seminar here. So it'll be wonderful to just, you know, take a moment and.
No, that's great. I wish you could beam me in. Yeah, that would be incredible. And I love, again, the grocery store. I encourage folks, too, when they're shopping. You know, one thing about mindfulness and meditation is it just makes you start to question everything, which I am a very curious person, which I think is why I'm drawn to the practice, because I like to continually step outside of my box to, you know, question why am I doing this, what motivates me. But to look, you know, even when you're at the grocery store, look at the packaging, look at the labels. If you're picking something up, ask yourself, why am I getting this? You know, and it helps you just learn just more about you and what makes
right.
you tick. You can make any moment the most incredibly interesting moment in the world if you decide treat it that way.
That is wonderful. I tell my kids, like, especially like with school, if it's something they aren't liking, just get completely fascinated by it. Find something that just is fascinating. And what more fascinating than health and learning, learning about it. We had a gentleman last week, you know, that asked about, you know, honey, and I didn't know, and I'm going to go research and look at it, and then, so you go and do that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look what I just learned, you know, so this, I can see what you mean, like, in every aspect of what we do, especially that, with what we're going to eat, you know, learn some more, and I love what you say, have a question, everything, be a constant learner, that's cool.
It's true, and when you, again, start to do this, you start questioning things you never start you would question because you weren't aware enough or conscious enough to know to ask the question. Oh, gosh, that sounded good. I hope that sounded good in my head. I hope it sounded good when it came out of my mouth.
It did. That was awesome.
Okay, good. Good.
Oh, my gosh. Well, is this something, how easy is this for people to start doing?
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. Let me ask this real quick. I'm sorry, because they're almost one and the same, correct? Tell me again. So you got meditation, mindfulness we can be doing all the time. And like you said, they are aligned together. So is it one and the same when we're talking about it? Okay.
Yeah, so really for me, my meditation practice is about being conscious all of the time. And that really is what mindfulness is. It's being again, alive and present all the freaking time. So whether you're brushing your teeth, I'm not just sitting there brushing my teeth. I am really watching myself put the toothpaste on the toothbrush. What color is the toothpaste? Are there little bubbles in the toothpaste? What does it feel like when I bring the toothbrush up to my mouth? What does my mouth feel like when I spit into the sink? So it's even taking the most mundane things, which a huge majority of our life is monotony and, you know, again, just doing things over and over. Really being in those moments and really discovering what's there in front of you. You know, there are so many simple things that are just miraculous. Okay, now as I start to talk about this, I just start to get glittery all in front of my eyes. But one of the things that I always talk about, my daughter has curly hair. And I remember one day just being, she was just sitting there and I took her hair and I put it in my finger. And I was so in the moment that I just connected to the softness of her hair, the color, and it became this precious, precious couple of seconds. And that's what I'm talking about, is we all have very rich lives, but a lot of us are so not in them that we miss so much of the texture and the beauty in all of it.
Yeah. You know, and I would love to hear I'm going to remind people to press one and do it. I would love to hear some of our listeners share how they think they could be mindful out on the road.
Oh, I'd love
to hear, you know. Oh, I would love to hear that. So people are just wanting to start and wanting to look into doing more of this.
Yes.
What are some tips that you have for them to get started?
Sure. I wonder if, like, when I'm teaching an intro class, like for the actual meditation practice, why don't I go over this? I give 3 steps for doing meditation. So one of the misconceptions of meditation is, you know, I have to do it in a quiet space. There can be no phones, no dogs, no kids, no other cars. You can meditate in your truck. I meditate at the doctor's office. I mean, I can meditate anywhere. So it really is just giving yourself the space, whatever that space is. And meditation to me is learning how to deal with life. So when you meditate, it isn't about shutting life out. Let life be around you. So let's say, for example, you're in your truck and you're sitting behind the driver's wheel. You can sit and again, I'm not about quantity, I'm about quality. So even if it's 5 minutes, just taking a minute, closing your eyes, focusing on your breath is one tip. So you can inhale and count. Inhale, 1, 2, 3. Pause, exhale, 1, 2, 3. For beginners, it's really excellent to give your mind the job of counting and to focus on the body as well. You can keep it simple and just say inhale, exhale. Now, if sometimes breathing doesn't work for everyone, so I give the other option if you are a visual person, you know, if there's a place that you love, like the beach, or, you know, if you love to hunt or if you love to go into the mountains, bring yourself there, picture it with complete clarity, and let yourself be in that moment and then just let go. Okay, a third tip that I give folks is to say something over and over again in your head just to kind of give your thoughts somewhere to go. So the key with that is it has to be something you believe in. So if you're in your truck and you're saying, I'm at peace, you keep noticing other sounds that make you tense, that may not quite work. So something like, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes just to be, or right now I'm just going to be. So anything that doesn't allow you to have any judgment and to keep you calm. And, you know, I would recommend if you can do it every day, even if just for 5 minutes, that's really all it takes to get started. Ideally, I always tell folks if you can find a teacher or find a group, there's such power in that. Scientifically, there's power in that because of a mirror neuron, which basically when you're around people who are doing the same thing and in the same mindset as you, it makes it easier. But that doesn't have to be. That doesn't have to be. You can find moments at any time. At any time. Okay, what else? Ask me some more questions, Kim.
Oh, there you go. Okay, let me think about this. That gets a way for them to get started. Okay, so
yes.
Just a simple breathing. And that, to me, is very powerful. When I, it was funny, my husband would come and say I'm doing my yoga breath, and he knows when I'm stressed, and that's what I'll do. I'll breathe, and I think that's the number one. So I love the 3 different ways you recommended. You did that on Sunday, and I'm trying to think which one. I tried all of them, and I found myself falling into one easier, just the straight inhale, exhale thing. And I actually had a situation, I think I said, you know, we're moving, and I was painting the other day, and we have an old home, so it's 3 floors, and I had the ladder leaned up against something, and I had a bucket in my hand of paint. And I knew I had to hold on to it because it could slip through. But I saw a piece of tape, and I went to reach for it as this bucket fell. And sprayed paint, you know, fell 3 steps. And my son came out of the room and just dumbfounded, look at this. And you were talking about react and response. I caught myself, and I knew I had to sit down and let myself be a minute. And breathing brought me back to not, like, completely flipping out. And I have to do that same thing when I'm driving and in a rush and stuff too. But I know I need to take it a step further. I personally myself don't take it further than that. What do you tell people, you know, when they see they want this? You know, just like eating and exercising healthy, you want it. You know you need to do it, but you're not doing it.
Right.
So it's easy to do and easy not to do. What are some strategies maybe or some tips or something that you have for people to help integrate this more into or make it a habit? Is there something you do with students to help them make it a habit?
From the mindfulness component, it really is just a mindset of I mean, it's so simple. To me, it's like, okay, I'm going to make a point to be more mindful in my life. So what that means is as many times during the day that I can, I'm going to really notice that where I am. All right, so say I'm driving, which can be such a mindless experience at times. So I'm driving, not really paying attention because I've taken this route so many times. I'm going to catch myself and go, oh, I'm not really here, and then I'm just going to bring myself back. And in the beginning, it could be very tiring because you might find yourself having to do that thousands of times during the day. Because essentially, one of the stats that I've heard is that 90% of the time we're not in the present, we're in the past or the future. So imagine starting this practice, how many times you're going to have to kind of kick yourself and go, hey, okay, let's come back. Or, you know, and you can even just say, okay, you know what, in my morning routine, I'm going to practice my mindfulness then. So, you know, I don't know if I can do the whole day right now, but let me give myself a period of the day that I can really be committed to being in the present. And then really what happens once you start doing that, you start noticing, even when you're not conscious of it, wait, does that make sense? You start noticing more,
yeah,
even when you weren't
yeah.
so conscious of it before, that you could just start to more naturally bring yourself back into what's going on in front of you.
Okay.
So,
take
little moments. Or, you know, hey, I'm just going to focus on it while I'm eating right now. Or, you know, if there is a part of your day, especially when you're driving, that you know you need to pay attention, you know, maybe that's the time of the day that I'm really going to focus on learning to be mindful and practice.
Okay. Because I know I personally need to do that, and I bet anybody out there, because we're all working on so many different things, and I'm going to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to get on some questions then, too. And is there anything else that you can think of? I want people to know how to find you as well. How can they find you and read a little bit more and see? You have guided meditations out there that I have. I've personally done the 20-minute one. To try the 6-minute one. I think you have one before going to sleep. Hey, I'm sorry, and I jump around. My daughter's
no, that's there. Great. What you got?
I see shiny objects, and I go all over the place. Okay, so sleep issues. How does this meditation and mindfulness help with sleep issues?
Okay, this is where I tell when I do presentations sometimes, like, okay, I sound like a snake oil salesman, because meditation helps with everything. It does help with sleep, insomnia, you know, some of the things we talked about, plus anxiety, depression. Almost anything you can name, meditation assists, because you think of when you are learning to relax and quiet your brain, how that just eases you into a better sleep. Your whole body, if your brain is relaxed, your whole body is relaxed. So it makes all of that easier. I just had a class. I teach pretty intense classes. I have a class going on right now for addiction, and one of the gentlemen, after taking the first class, he came back to class the next week, and he said, that was the best night's sleep I've ever had in my life. All right, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I had a really good night's sleep, and typically I don't sleep well. And he's like, does that typically happen from just one class? And I'm like, Yeah, again, miraculous things can happen when you really start to connect to your brain and really work to slow it down and to treat it with respect and care and love.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now, do it now. we're going to jump back into, and I, like I said, I jumped all over the place, but here real quick, where to find you? What is your website?
Oh, sure. So my website can be seen under two different URL addresses. So justbemeditation.com is easy, or just-b.info. So I have tons of research there. I do. I think I have 6 free guided meditations at this point. So, you know, you can click on them on your phone or on your computer. Take advantage of those. I think they're very nice. And then there are so many free things out there. YouTube, oh my gosh, there are a gazillion of guided meditations. You can pick and choose from anything based on kind of what you like. I mean, there's Native American music. There are singing bowls. There are just people kind of talking through, you know, beautiful meditations. So there is something for everyone there, and there are hundreds and thousands of things to choose from. Three of my favorite books that I love to recommend, Jon Kabat-Zinn, Full Catastrophe Living, is wonderful. In Ohio, our Congressman Tim Ryan has written a book called A Mindful Nation, which to me is great for kids, adults, wonderful. And then Goldie Hawn has a book called Mindful Minutes, which is really, really great as well. But
okay.
I guess back
I'll
to
have
Kim.
To,
I'll
have you send. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have you send me those, and I'll put them on our website because.
Oh, excellent.
So many drivers use audiobooks. They're really a lot of our listeners use audiobooks, so that we'll have to look to see if some of those are available out there.
Perfect. And I've got, like, right in front of me a CD, Guided Mindfulness Meditation by Jon Kabat-Zinn. Yeah, there are so many audiobooks, so many CDs. Right now, even compared to 2 or 3 years ago, tons of great stuff out there.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to bring in some callers, okay? Ian, we'll
that
see. Let's keep some conversation going, so thank you.
Okay.
We're going to head off to Texas right now. So we're going to bring on Matt. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you ladies doing today?
Hey, good.
Wonderful.
I'm really enjoying all the great information, and this is like my first time for calling into the Health and Wellness show.
Welcome.
And I just... Well, thank you. And I've been on a health and wellness journey. I started a year ago. I was weighed like 230 pounds. I was not happy. I was, you know, sluggish. And so, you know, I was just sitting at home watching the TV, and I found the Nutribullet. So I started making some juice. I lost 30 pounds. And then this year, it's a whole learning process. And then I found the book Dr. Furman, Eat to Live, where it's a 90% plant-based diet and lifestyle style with no refined grains.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that book, and I've been on the Dr. Furman plan for about a week and a half. And to 2 weeks, and I've already lost like 7 pounds plus the 30.
Wow.
So I wanted to touch on the point of one of the things I've noticed by having the vegan lifestyle is that I have much more clarity, you know, in my brain, and I can think a lot clearer. And I think that has a lot to go with your meditation as well, and having clarity in your head and having that time to relax and to think and to get your thoughts together. If you're, it's all what you put in is what you get out. And I would just have to say to the other callers and listeners that I think it's really important. The first thing is you have to take your health and wellness and can make that commitment to yourself and put that before, you know, anything else. You know, I'm going to take that 10 minutes and I'm going to make my food or I'm going to eat, you know, because if you don't, then that's what causes all these other problems with stress and diabetes and things like that. So,
hey, can I ask a question? Matt, this is
Eden. Yes, ma'am.
So, at first, this is so brilliant. Oh, my gosh, I'm sitting here just smiling ear to ear. I'm so, wow. So, I hate to say proud of you, but I am. I'm like, man, that is so awesome. So, how do you, with that sort of dietary lifestyle, how do you make that work when you're on the road?
Well, I'm the owner operator, so I have my own truck, and I do have a refrigerator in my truck, and so I stop at the store once a week and fill up, and so, you know, I try to shoot for 2 pounds of vegetables a day, 1 pound raw, 1 pound cooked. So salad is the main dish. I mean, I make a salad. It's like 2 liters of salad. You know, that's the volume.
That's a salad. Yum.
And it's got a little bit of everything in it, but it's all natural stuff. There's no processed foods. And that's the main thing right there. And how do I do it? I even have a generator in my truck. The generator's broke, but I have to stop and think. Like, I have to make that conscious decision and do a little work and do a little planning. And I think when, you know, we talk about on the Kevin Rutherford show, it's doing the hard work. And if you want results, then that's what you got to do. And I'm really passionate about this whole health and wellness, because if you don't take care of yourself, especially out here, nobody else is going to do that for you.
Well, I agree. All of this is about commitment, and really, no, you're right. No one has. You are the one who has control of you, and you are the one who needs to be in charge of you. And what I found is when you decide to make these changes, and I'm curious to see if you agree, that it is harder at times, but in a way, it's so much easier. Would you agree, Matt?
It is. It's a lot easier. I feel better, and you know, it's like, wow, just. You know, just getting down to my natural body weight is just phenomenal. Like, it's a big achievement for me. And it's not even about losing the weight. It's just about achieving optimal health from the beginning.
Mm. And I'll tell you guys one thing I didn't mention. Like, since I've started doing meditation, I rarely get sick. I don't get colds. I don't get sore throats. I'm not on any medication. You know, and that, when you think about long term, and when you do meditation, your brain literally doesn't age typically. So if your brain's not aging, what is your body doing? So, you know, things may be a little bit harder at times because, oh, I've got to meditate or do this. But in the long term of my life, the effect this is going to have down the road for me and for you with your eating habits, it's going to be monumental. Monumental.
I'm very interested in getting to the meditation. And when talking about getting to your place, you know, I've been to overseas. I've been to Indonesia. I visited some of the temples there. So when I think about the meditation, I think about my visits to the temple.
Oh, that's amazing. Love it.
When I go to Bali, they have the temples right on the ocean right there. And when I go there, everybody's sitting on the beach meditating right there. And you can only go to the temple when the tide is low. When the tide is high, then you can't get to it.
Matt, you got it going on. You need to start leading your own groups.
There you go.
No kidding. Start getting them on your diet. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready to get on the mat train.
Exactly. But here's the problem I had. I didn't have all the right information. And having the right information so you can take the right steps, that's the key to success right there.
True. Wow.
So say that again, Matt. You said you didn't have the right information. Is that what
I did not have the right information. Not until I started reading Dr. Furman, the Eat to Live book. I was trying, and I was trying to make an effort, but I always kept failing. And then when I started doing the Dr. Furman, it's like instant. It just happened right away within a week. You know, I completely detoxed my body of all the chemicals and, you know, all the additives and the foods and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And, you know, that's just like Eden had said earlier about going and learning and constantly questioning. So I second Eden on that, how proud I am of you to do that.
You.
And then to come on and share. So thank you for coming on and sharing with everybody.
And absolutely. Yeah. And I have a ripple effect on people. I get really, I'm very passionate and I'm really enthusiastic about things. And I tend to wear off on other people. So I get them motivated and I get them fired up. And the next thing you know, they're passionate about it as well. And that's why I get the real benefit of success is just kind of by setting the example. And helping and learning and teaching with other people.
Well, and that's huge. Yeah. And if you show folks that it's possible, it does. That opens their eyes to, well, if, you know, if Matt can do it or if Eden can do it or Kim, then maybe I can do it. And that's part of what I tell people. If I can do this, oh, my gosh, you can all do it. You can all do it. So leading by example. That's awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I've been wanting to call in, but I just haven't had a chance there lately. So I just called over the caller. Just keep committed and stay at it. You'll succeed eventually.
Oh, Matt, thanks. So stick close with us. Keep us updated. And so what is next for you? What's next for you? Are you going to...
I think I want to start doing some meditation classes and doing some learn breathing to kind of to go with the healthy eating, so to speak. I've got the diet down. I feel a little bit better. I'm starting to get a little more activity now, you know, doing some walking and things like that. I want to start doing some more physical, like joining the Planet Fitness. And I think if I can incorporate into that some meditation and breathing, I really think that helped me out in a long ways.
Well, I'll give you a mindful walking, or like if you're out in nature, that's a great opportunity to practice. So, again, it's kind of like a moving meditation. So if you're walking, really paying attention to your body movement as your foot goes down, feeling the base of your foot, the middle of your foot, your toe, taking a breath, really being conscious in the moment. That is a beautiful place out in nature and being physical to really have a mindful moment. So that might be a great place to start as well, especially if you like the outdoors. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Well, good. Well, good deal. Well, Matt, you're going to call back and let us know how it goes, right?
Yeah, I'll give you a call back in a couple weeks and let you guys know.
Cannot wait. That would be awesome.
Oh, very
That'd be
neat.
Awesome.
Wow,
thanks,
who's going to
Matt,
top that
so
call,
much.
Kim? Holy cow.
I know. Well, here.
That's
Matt,
a tough
we'll talk
one.
To you later. We are going to head off to Branson, Missouri, and bring John on board. Welcome, John.
Hi. How are you doing today?
We're good.
Good. Yeah, hi.
How do you...
Well, I wanted to call in today to thank you guys for reminding me how much I love meditating. I unfortunately, over the last couple of years, I kind of fell away from the habit. And,
okay.
You know, life gets in the way and you kind of... And when I started listening to the show today, it, like, a lightning bolt hit me and went, duh, this is something you're missing, you know. You forgot about meditation, and anybody who's out there that's listening that doubts it, don't. I promise you. What they're
good.
Saying is true. It will help in so many different ways in your life, in ways that you can't even describe. Thank you for reminding me.
Well, John, when are you going to come start working with me? That's so great. Okay, so when did you start? When did you start meditating? How long ago?
I would probably say I was meditating from about 95 till about maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay,
and
why? I know you said you kind of stopped. Why? What do you think the key was in stopping?
I can give you 100 different excuses, and that's exactly what it is. It's excuses. You know, blow it off one day, and you say, well, you know, I'll get
easy.
To it tomorrow, and then, you know, slowly but surely it just slips away, and you don't realize that it's gone.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, tell me if you agree with this. When, to me, it connects me more to me, so when I don't do it, it's kind of like I start to lose parts of myself. Would you agree with that?
Or how
would you word it?
In some ways,
for me,
because I knew you guys were going to ask me, you know, what was the difference in my life. And
yeah.
I was trying to think about it before I pressed one. And really the difference is, I would say, is, yes, some connection to myself, but I actually think connecting to my surroundings and connecting to everything else in my life, because it's a time when
you
can reflect on what's going on, and it's not all the hocus pocus that you think it is. I think a lot of people think about meditation and they think of hocus pocus, that they need to sit back and smoke some weed and listen to some, you know, Indian music, and that's how they meditate. Well, that's fun to do that too. But oh, did I say that out loud?
yes, you did.
but when you actually are clearing your mind, just really clearing your mind and just focusing in on something, or focusing outwardly on something. You gave an example earlier about, you know, the brushing the teeth. And I know for some people that probably sounded silly, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I never tried that specifically, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe if I approach meditation slightly differently than I did how in the past, maybe I can work it into my day a lot easier, because I was pretty regimented in the way that I did my meditation. I would be in my office and I would shut all the lights off, and it would be very cool in there and very quiet. And, you know, if the phone rang, it just like blew it for me.
Right.
Now, maybe if I don't put so much pressure on myself that I have to spend exactly 60 minutes doing it, you know, now I could be maybe a little less regimented about it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving me the permission to do that.
Oh, my God, John, that is awesome. You know, I have to completely agree with you. Like, when I talked about when I don't do it, I don't feel that connection to myself. But you're right, it's so much more than that. It gives me, my meditation mindfulness practice gives me connection to the minute things in life, but also my place in the bigger picture. Again, if you want to connect it to spirituality, to God, to Jesus, to, again, whatever you believe in, for me, it enriches my life that way. And it gives me a place in life. It gives me, you know, a defining why I'm here, it gives me clarity in what I'm doing. I'm here to help people. So and you're right, it can be so simple if you want it to be. It doesn't have to be this, oh my gosh, I've got to commit and I've got to, you know, take 5 hours a day. No, you don't. A couple minutes. And the more you practice, the more it just starts to come about. So excellent. Thank you. Love it.
Good job. No, thank
you.
You're welcome.
John, you said what I had always felt, too, about meditation was that I had to set a time, and even this was my misconception. I had to set a time, and it had to be quiet, and I had to, and that's when I fell away from it. So this
Light the candles, ring the bell, then hold the
shut everything out. Nothing can disturb me. Oh, and hey, can I give you guys this other piece, too? Because I find when I tell folks this, it makes them relax. John, when you talked about clearing the mind, another thing I tell folks is that it's scientifically proven you literally cannot shut your mind off or completely clear it, because even if you're not aware, the mind is always working. So it's almost like, hey, when you sit down, the point isn't to get rid of all your thoughts. That's impossible. The point is to sit and to find distance between your thoughts, or to acknowledge that they're there and kind of breathe through them. So there's almost a power in that, too.
It basically shut the noise off in your life.
Yes.
Because
your
mind is always moving 1,000 miles a minute, and you're thinking, at least, you know, my mind is always like skipping around all over the place. I guess it's an ADD thing. But, you know, if just focusing on one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's clearing the mind, because you're moving everything else to the side. And sometimes, you know, when I used to meditate, I would just concentrate on a problem and think about it. And sometimes you can just be so much more clearer on what the answer could be, because you're shutting the other noise off. It doesn't mean that your mind is blank. I mean, if your mind was blank, you'd be a vegetable in a hospital with IVs hanging out of you.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's literally clearing your mind, but that's not. I think you're giving a phenomenal message that meditation is not what you think it is.
This
is the way it is today, not the way that it's not your mother's meditation anymore.
Well, and you kind of taken it to the next level, too. You can really meditate or focus on anything. I do the same thing. Like, if I have a decision in my life, I'll sit in quiet and kind of contemplate that and feel. For me, it's about feeling where my heart wants to go and getting out of my, you know, because your mind can sit there and go, well, you need to do this because of X, Y, and Z. If I sit and meditate and really feel what's the best for me, then I always end up making the best decision. So you can use your quiet time for that. You can use your quiet time to have your pet and have your pet come sit on your lap and just connect and, you know, pet them and just be with them, or your child or your husband. You can do it in so many different ways. So many different ways.
Kim, your show keeps getting better and better and better. This is the best show yet.
Like, some people like Eden, it's like, you know, go find the people that are just passionate about this and knowledgeable. And that's what I was saying, Eden, at the beginning, too, is that this community of drivers and listeners here, I'm just, oh, my gosh, I get so jazzed when we get this call going, because I feel the energy. So, Eden, you have added to that so much, and this has been awesome. So, John, I think I'm going to see you soon when you get to the CMC. So it would be kind of neat to get your take at the end of CMC maybe about how starting this week and with this whole with being mindful, maybe what it means to you at the end of the CMC week. I'd love to hear.
I'm going to be there in a couple of hours.
Okay, great. Look forward to it.
Wow, thank you, John. So lovely talking with you.
Okay,
thank you.
Can we take one? Can we take a couple more here? Are you okay?
Girl, we could do this for hours. So, yes, please.
So fun. Well, let's head to California and talk to Paul. Hey, Paul, how are you? Oh, are you there, Paul?
Hello.
Hey, there you are. How are you, Paul?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Hello.
Doing well.
I think I got a bad signal. I'm not sure if you can hear me. Can you?
We can hear you. How about, can you hear us at all?
I'm not hearing you guys.
Oh, shoot.
Go
ahead.
There you are.
Oh, you got us. You got it?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yeah. Let's try this one more time.
Okay. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can. What you got for us?
Okay. Okay. Well, let's give this a try. I talked to you, Tim, a few weeks ago about juicing, and you had the other gentleman get on, and we were talking about what he does as far as juicing and such, and then also the fermenting vegetables.
Right.
All of that. And so the following week, I did go out and buy a NutriBullet, and had it on my truck now for a couple weeks, and mainly, I just tried to keep it real simple initially. I just have spinach and collard greens, and I have one of those, forget the brand name, but the powdered vegetable drink mixes that you can buy at the health food store where it's like got all the vegetables in a powder and you pour it in with water.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. I've seen them.
Yeah.
I haven't tried
I've got that, and what I do is I take a handful of spinach, handful of collard greens, a scoop of that, throw it in the NutriBullet, and then to add a little bit of sweetness, I have this low-calorie peach iced tea, which I only put about maybe a third of what they call a serving in the NutriBullet, maybe like not even an inch of the cup, and then the rest is water just to add a little sweetness to it, and blend it up, and that's my drink. And in the last 2 weeks, 7 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I noticed
that's awesome.
I've tried to cut, been trying to cut out caffeine out of my diet.
How's that going?
Get rid of drinking the Monsters and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh.
I noticed about on the third day of doing that I was able to run all day long. And I felt fine at the end of the day and didn't have to have a coffee or a Monster or any kind of a pick-me-up.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
What was interesting is that on one of the nights, I was hungry and I didn't want to eat real close to bedtime. So I decided I'm just going to make another drink. And I made another drink an hour before I went to bed, and I slept the best I've slept in probably 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
That night. I woke
fabulous.
Up and I was like, I didn't even remember moving all night long.
Awesome.
So it definitely works. I'm still trying to maintain, not eating the bread and the grains and such. And trying to get a little more exercise added to my thing, so we'll see how it goes as I go forward here. But so far, it's going pretty well, and it's interesting that you have the lady on today about the meditation. I'm 51 right now, and my mother took me when I was 12 years old to learn transcendental meditation.
Wow! Well, you live in California, right?
What's that?
You're in California, right?
Yeah.
That's a little more fitting for California. Love it. Okay,
yeah.
So what do you remember from that? That's cool.
It's funny, I used it on and off when I haven't used it in a long time, but my mother, she's going to be 93 in July.
Wow.
She absolutely is a avid meditator.
Wow.
She meditates every day, and I remember her, my thing was, about being quiet, sitting on a beach, and looking at a pail of sand. That was, because I grew up at the beach, so that was my comfort place.
Okay.
that was my focus point when I meditated, was to just get rid of all the other thoughts, focus on that, sitting there on the beach, feeling the sand, listening to the water. And then when I would notice that my mind would drift off to other things, is to be aware that you're drifting,
yep,
and bring yourself back to that place.
Bring it back, right.
And I remember, you know, and I've got to start doing it again because I know it'll help. But I remember how it felt afterwards, is that afterwards I felt very calm, very relaxed, you know, and like I said, very clear in my head, my thinking.
Very
so
neat.
I'm glad,
you know what?
I'm glad you guys had it on today, because I want to start incorporating it back into what I do.
You know, and can I give you a couple of, as I hear you talking about the NutriBullet and really making some changes in your diet, go ahead. Like, here's something that can be done as well. So much about being mindful is, as you're doing these things, like, okay, say you're shopping or you're using your bullet, to really be in that moment and recognize not only that you're physically going through the action, but to go, wow, look at what I'm doing. And as you hold that drink, not only just looking at it and being mindful, but going, look at what this good thing is that I'm doing. And as I drink it, I feel so good when I drink this. So really watching what you tell yourself during the day, and especially if you're committing to this change, not only commit with it in terms of physically doing it, but watch yourself mentally as you drink, as you prepare. Watch what you're saying to yourself and really see if you can amp that up to another level in terms of positivity and just embracing what you're doing.
Right, right. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And you're mentioning about being mindful when you're driving, how, you know,
yeah,
a lot of people, when they drive, they stare at the concrete and they just,
sure,
they just drive. And the one thing I can say is I am not one of those people that stare at the white lines.
Okay.
I am constantly looking at the landscape and looking at the color of trees, the color of the dirt, the rock formations, all that kind of stuff. Because I find that stuff, it makes the day go by much nicer when you start,
yeah,
paying attention to where you're going through. Because, you know, I had, there's places I've seen that I would have never seen if I didn't go into trucking.
Sure.
You know, and things that I've seen, you know, that I would have never seen. And my wife is sometimes jealous. You know, I'll send her a picture and she'll go, oh, I wish I was there, you know.
Yes.
You know,
well, and that is so great. And what I would encourage with that, too, is, you know, make it fun. You know, there's so much, again, when we talk about the monotony, how you're already kind of embracing it on a different level. Heck, at some point, turn on your favorite song, and as you're looking at stuff, start singing that song. You know, part of doing this, too, is really living, not just watching life,
right,
and being part,
okay,
of it, but making your contribution even more exciting and fun. So I want to see you with some great song, singing, looking at these trees, and then send a selfie of yourself to your wife. There you go.
All right, I can't think, so what I'll do is one of these days, I will record myself singing while I'm driving, and I'll send it to you.
Oh, I love it.
That's
great. Perfect, Paul. So perfect.
Paul, that's awesome. Well, keep up the great work. And that's just what, you know, it's the path that we're taking when we do start focusing on health, is you've done little things at a time and build on it. And then, not like that, you get a great night's sleep, and then, you know, you wake up and you're ready for more, and you're ready to learn and do more. And so keep up the great work.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yep, I appreciate it. You guys keep up
good
doing
job.
What you're doing, because it helps a lot of us out here.
Aww.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul. Be safe out there, and be sure and call us again. Give us, you know, call us again and let us know how things are going.
I will do that. Appreciate it. You girls,
okay,
have a great day.
Thank
you.
You
too. Bye now. Let's take one here. I missed Matt. Let's head off to Texas. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm still on the line. I'm just listening.
I know. I'm so sorry. I, like, just missed it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Matt in Texas.
I can talk some
what
more.
Would you like to... What's that?
I just say, you go green, eat healthy, and drink the juice. It's good for you.
Oh. See, okay. I'm sorry, Matt. We did talk. I apologize. Yeah.
No problem.
And you're going to let us know. You're going to call and let us know how your meditation and mindfulness is going then, too. Thanks, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness, guys. See me with these buttons here? Beth had to Washington and talk to James. James, how are you?
Oh, just fine, Kim. How's the CMC?
Wow, we're getting ready to kick it off. I just got in here this morning, and we've been in the room. Lisa has been here for a couple weeks and has just done so much work. So finally pulling the team together and ready to kick it off.
I was originally calling you about, running and a little bit about dieting, but since you have a guest about meditating, I got into meditating from the book, The Willpower Instinct, and one part of it was basically training your brain to focus on one thing at a time, which is half of my self-created problems is I'm not focusing on what I'm doing as I'm doing it, and I put things down and I forget them and I have to do things twice and everything else. And so I began meditating, and I found that it is the one exercise, the one goal I had during the day that I get to complete on a daily basis usually, but it's the one I have the most difficulty in doing well. To sit there and just focus on one thing, and the deep breathing is it's hard for me to just focus on one thing, and that's the basis of the exercise. But I see that as I'm trying to do it, that I actually it does help with my day-to-day job and all that, and the steps you have to take to do something, and not doing it twice because you just did it right the first time.
So how long have you been doing this, or how long, or when did you start?
I would say about a month and a half ago.
Okay. So how, when you started versus now, do you find it's easier to focus singularly? Okay, how would you describe your progression?
As far as the exercise itself, it's still a bit challenging. If I just go through the steps of how I do it, I sit in the back of the truck, and I'm sitting there basically on my bed, flat-footed, hands on my legs. Mm-hmm. And the image I'm trying to concentrate is a blue balloon. I do the deep breathing as I'm blowing out. That blue balloon is expanding. I'm blowing the air into the balloon, and as I'm breathing in, I'm taking the air from the balloon into me, and I'm trying to focus just on that for 5 minutes.
Great.
Just to focus on that one thing, and I do it, and I'm focusing. And I have that tunnel vision, and then I get distracted in my mind. I get distracted somehow.
Sure.
Yeah, and I try to go back to it, and I'm
Well, I love that because I love exercises that bring in again the physicality and the visual aspect of it. So that's a very I might have to, if you don't mind, use that one for some of my classes too, because it's like for me, I picture that blue balloon, like there's such a color to it and the texture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty rich meditation. I love that.
Right, a very simple object, and it actually go with the actual physical exercise of what you're doing.
There are meditation practices where some people open their eyes and just stare at an object. There are meditations where people will light a candle and literally see if they can stay focused on the flame. So, I love that you're bringing this and having talked with John. And there's so many different ways to do this. So many different ways.
Right. But, like I said, it's one exercise I'm working on trying to do better.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It can be really challenging.
Yeah. Hey, Kim, do you have a question about running? Can I ask you about
Absolutely.
One thing I find is that when I go running, and now granted, I run for a short amount of time. It's only for about 7 minutes. It's 10 minutes. I walk for 3 minutes, and I run for 7 minutes. So it's just under a mile that I'm actually going as far as my distance is concerned. And I just want to tell you that because it may change your opinion about what I'm doing. I find it easier to run if I'm running on an empty stomach. And I don't know whether or not that's a healthy thing to do or not, whether or not to kind of come back and bite me later on. not eating anything before I run. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what. I just read today on the plane coming out here, and there's some even endurance runners that are doing this where they are eating on glycogen depletion or that, where they purposely run on an empty stomach. Now, not all the time, you know, maybe one a week, but to start training your body to dip past the glucose storage. You know, that's where, you know, Kevin had talked about, you know, eating the fastest up. Your body has more fat to burn. And there's some ultra runners that, in training-wise, they will purposely run on empty stomachs to, and I don't want to just say ultra runners, it's anybody. We all should do that, running on empty stomachs. Because, you know, we all this has come out with, you know, Gatorades and all this carb loading, all that kind of stuff, and you don't really need to do that. You know, especially for shorter type distances and that. So I really encourage you to keep doing that. See how you're feeling, and it's kind of it's a process too, because you might not have a good run sometimes, but you're training your body to dip in the other energy resources to fuel you.
The other question I had about running is that afterwards my shins are killing me. Is it the way I'm running, the shoes I'm using? What do you think I should do about that?
You know what, it can be, I mean, I'm a big one on wearing, you know, making sure you have the right shoes to wear for running, but, you know, there's also the whole natural, you know, barefoot running, you know, just how your feet hit. But usually there's a couple things that happen with shin splints is just sometimes if you've increased your distance, I get them if I'm running on, here in Akron we have a beautiful towpath, limestone path, but then if I hit asphalt or concrete, I have to deal with that with shin splints.
Right.
Different terrains too, like hills. If I've done a hilly run, so take a look at that. But that's mine. Tell me a little bit more about where you run. Is it usually on hard surfaces?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, I usually run it at rest areas, and those are like the walkways, like in the parking lots.
Yeah, and you know even. You know, blacktop is sometimes even better than the straight concrete, but you might just need to, you know, concentrate, do preventative stuff. If it gets too bad, because I know some shin splints can get so bad, you know, you can hardly walk. If it's that bad at any point, you need to back off a little bit, you know, still keep up something.
Are shin splints what I think they are is your bone, the bone in your shin is actually breaking up.
You know what, I would have to read on that. I would have to read on that a little bit more, but to me it was always the inflammation of the muscles on your shin. So then that's where I used to work with a lady that ran at lunchtime, and she always had a bag of peas in the freezer that she would come and put on her shin. She just dealt with them. I mean, she just always had them. So that's something, ice, and then, you know, some ibuprofen and that if it's bad. If it's constant, then, I mean, again, I guess even this is great in the long lines of, you know, mindfulness too, is just really start paying attention to when this happens and start shifting maybe just a few things. Absolutely, you know, hopefully it doesn't get so bad you have to stop altogether for a little while. So see what, be very attuned to what makes it worse. In the meantime, you know, do ice it when you get done and see if that kind of maintenance thing, a lot of it might be, and if you're walking and then kicking into a run, you're doing and a lot of it is a sudden increase in your distance and if you're just beginning. But I know mine is usually the surface. But try that. The surface. Mine is the surface, what I'm running on, as asphalt or concrete. And so since that's, you know, and I'm not sure, there's trails around by some of the truck stops too. Are you on the Truck and Runners Facebook page?
No, I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay.
No, I haven't looked at it yet.
Do that too and get some ideas from some of the other runners out there. Maybe try some other surfaces, see if that helps. But, definitely ice and help with the inflammation.
Would compression socks help at all?
You know what? I am not sure about that. I use compression socks after a run, to get circulation going again. I never use compression socks really when I'm running. Okay. And I know those are an investment. They're about $40, I think, if you want to get a pair of those.
Right.
We can ask. But, you know, if you don't, I'll head to us on that Truck and Runner site what they think as well, and encourage you to go over there and like that page. So you have a plethora of resources out there, far more knowledgeable than me. That we just got done with our 500K team out there. Let's see here.
Well, here I'm on my computer right now. Runner's
I was
going to
ask you, how did Bill do? How did Bill do in that? How did he do?
They won. They won as a team, James.
They won it.
Bill,
wow.
They won it. Bill came on. He was on the show last week. He came back on from the trail, and it is just, it was so cool. They were sharing pictures from the trails and just what they came together and did. Even, I'm not sure if I had shared this with you, but we had a team of four truck drivers, age, I think the youngest is 42, the oldest is 64. Four drivers that did a 500K relay, just the 23rd when it started of April. So 314 miles, they ran 5-mile increments, so they didn't get to run much in between their stints, but each time they came up. But yeah, James, they won the Truckin'. They were called Truckin' Riders, and they won. So yeah,
nice.
Take a look at that.
Wow.
Back on the
Truck Drivers won a marathon.
Yeah, he has pictures. Yeah.
Wow, Truck Drivers won a marathon. Okay.
So, Eden, you were saying you pulled up, did you get the Facebook page? You pulled up from Runner's World about Shinsplint.
Oh, yeah, just Runner's World. I was kind of looking. They have a pretty good article on Shinsplint.
Yeah.
I was kind of defining it, how to treat it. You know, it's so fun to have your computer in front of you. I'm like, ooh, let me see what I can find. But, yeah, it's a pretty good article.
I know. Great. Good. Yeah. Google. Wonderful. Well, James, let us know how it goes. I hope it doesn't, slow you down any.
No, it's only temporary pain. I just want to deal with it better. So.
Yeah. Ice is my friend, and Bill was talking about that last week too. He was saying, and I'm not sure how old you are, James. I'm 51, so things hurt all the time. So I try to, not let it stop us and appreciate it for, what our bodies are doing for us, and throw a little ice on it, too, when we need to.
Okay.
Okay.
Right,
well, thank you,
James. Thank you and your guest. All right.
See you, James.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay, Eden, I think we're going to wrap it up here. So, Eden, is there anything you want to share in closing here? And I am going to twist your arm to come back with us someday.
No, I would love it. This is so, well... Okay, yeah, two things. I do work via Skype, so I try to work with people all over the world. If anyone feels like they want to chat with me, because one of my unique attributes, I guess for lack of a better way of saying it, is helping individuals. Again, meditation books are great, but when it comes down to each individual, their practice, how they'll go through it, is different, and I'm really good at helping people with their own journey, for lack of a better way of saying it. So, yeah, please feel free to reach out. Again, this is my passion. I love it. Secondly, I am so, Kim, when you told me about what you guys were doing and the show, I had a concept of it. But now that I'm actually here with you today, I am really impressed, and I'm blown away with these callers. So I just want to congratulate you for what you're doing. And, it's kind of, I feel my passion, and I connect it to yours, and it's the same thing that you are really wanting to help people, and I admire that completely. So I am so grateful to be a part of this in any way today, in the future. So what I'm trying to say is thank you.
Oh, thank you.
thank you for what you're doing
much.
And for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really
neat. That. Thank you so much. So, again, we'll talk, and I've got to get down and do some of your classes before I have to head south here. So, Eden,
thank you so much.
With
your weekend. You're welcome. All right, well, y'all have a great rest of the day, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Bye
all
for
right,
now,
thank
Eden.
You. All right.
Oh, you guys, that was so fabulous. And what a great time, this, coming into the CMC week and you guys heading into your weekend. I just want to, go look at the Twitter, Facebook page. And, Eden has a Facebook page as well, Just Be Meditation, Heart Smart Highway, Road Tested Living, Truck and Runners, Ride and Roll Cycling, go expand this community more and share and bring them on board with us. Welcome them here. Ian's website, justbemeditation.com. There's some great guided meditations out there. There's information to read. And how she said, you know, she does have the capability to do Skyping for people who want to learn more and really focus on this part of your life. So thank you for being here today. Reminder, there will be no show next week. It's the closing week of the CMC. So I put this out to you for these next couple weeks, or, you know, even just focus on the rest of the day today or say this weekend to be mindful, to stop and look, to breathe, to just take it all in, let it fill you, and then give it back to others as you encounter them throughout the day. Learn more about meditation. Start small and build and see what it does for you. And then come back and share in 2 weeks, okay? I'd love to hear from you. We're going to do our Tell Me Something Good show, so I want to hear how that's going and what it did for you. So in closing, again, I just thank you for taking your time to join us today. You matter to us, and your health matters to us. Until 2 weeks from now, keep learning, keep connecting with like-minded people, keep moving, be committed to you, be a leader out there on the roads and at this home and at your home. Take it home in this health journey, okay? Be healthy, be fit, do the hard work, and master this journey to health. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to talking to you in a couple weeks. And any of you guys at the CMC, let's get chatting. Bye for now.